This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
To Border, the best radio show in the state of Wisconsin. Voted on by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association. The award-winning Wendy's Big Show.
Let's get ready to rock. Let's get ready to go. Get set. Ready. Get up. Hey. Let's get it on with
the Wendy's Big Show.
Oh, showtime, baby.
Play some ball.
Showtime.
This is the Wendy's Big Show with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, former Badger and Packers running back Gary Ellerson, and the inventor of the Lambeau Leap, Leroy Butler.
Well, it's the Big Show. Yes, it's a big, bad show tonight.
Wendy's Big Show, serving up hot and fresh. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer with you. Flying solo the rest of the way out here. Gary Ellerson with the day off. He will be back tomorrow. Green and Gold postgame show presented to you by Lakeland University. Once that game is done. Leroy Butler was here for the first couple hours. He's on his way. I think he's got Lambeau Field tours today, I want to say, up in Green Bay or something going on. So he's on his way to Green Bay to do those tours at Lambeau. I wonder how many Niners fans he'll get to take around Lambeau to show him. Because you would think, if you're coming in from out of town, that's I mean, you got to do that. I mean, you got to do that. You got to do the Packer Hall of Fame, right? I mean, those two things are naturals if you've never been to Lambeau. Like, I've never been to Fenway. I don't know what the things are that you have to do to Fenway at Fenway necessarily. But, like, I've been to Great American Ballpark in Cincinnati. The Reds Museum, Hall of Fame Museum, is so good. So good. It's my favorite ballpark to go to outside of, obviously, what we have here in Milwaukee. But it is, it's a cool ballpark to go watch. I saw a night game there, and it was amazing. Had a lot of fun. Anywho, so if, you know, you would assume Lambeau will be, have quite a few Niner fans there. And I'm sure they will be rooting for the Niners, not for the California-born Aaron Rodgers in this one. But Rodgers, earlier this week during his press conference, got into talking about his legacy as a player, and we'll talk about just that after we hear from the quarterback.
It's all a part of it. Success is often based, you know, for quarterbacks on championships won a lot of times. I think success individually is much more than that. And failure, on the flip side of that, failure is not, in my opinion, shouldn't be based solely on your losses and your failures, your mistakes, your low points. It's so much more than that. It's a mindset. It's an approach. It's a total package. But I understand that in our business, so much of it is focused on the wins and losses, especially in the playoffs, Super Bowl rings and all that stuff. I understand that's part of my legacy. I'll be judged on when I'm done playing. And every year is important when it comes to furthering your legacy. I take a lot of pride in the success that we've had and that I've had. And I hope we can add to it, both from a how we're judged standpoint and how we judge ourselves standpoint.
All right, so there is Aaron Rodgers talking about, you know, him, the team, and so forth, and how they'll be judged kind of going forward. My question is this: how important is this playoff run to Aaron Rodgers' legacy? How important is this playoff run, do you think, as a fan? Because Let's be honest about something, right? In a weird way, we kind of do determine legacy, don't we? I mean, we talk about MVP voting and Hall of Fame voting, and it's done by the writers. But when it comes to legacy of a player and how a player is remembered or how a coach is remembered, isn't it kind of done by you and I? By the fans of that sport as far as how that person's remembered? And not everybody will agree on how they'll remember a person one way or the other, obviously. But there will be a majority opinion around the country on how somebody will be remembered. And Rodgers right now is in a situation, in my opinion, and this is going to sound maybe a little over the top, he desperately needs a second Super Bowl win, at least an appearance. At the very least, to get there. Even if he loses it, just to get there. And while you may go, bah, Hall of Famer. Agreed. Definitely a Hall of Famer. First ballot. No question. Quarterback rating, you know, best of the best. Fine. But, dude, you don't want to be that guy known as just losing conference championship game after conference championship game after conference championship game after conference championship game. You don't want that either. Because then what it's going to be is, in the words of Ron Wolf, a fart in the wind. Because remember, when they won that first Super Bowl, the Packers, he said, that's nice. But you only win one. You're just a fart in the wind. It just happened to be your year one time. You don't ever get back again. That's all you were. And while I like to always call that one Super Bowl run with Rodgers the magic carpet ride, where you have 16, 17 guys out for the year, they don't come back. They didn't come back. You're picking dudes up off the street in free agency, plugging and playing, and everything's working. That was kind of the magic carpet ride year. They got hot at the right time. They were unstoppable. So that's why I deemed it the magic carpet ride year. Now, having said that, coming off of that year, now you get these guys all back, I'm going, huh. Might have a dynasty here. I mean, you might win 2-3 Super Bowls in a row because everybody's actually going to be healthy now on top of what you had. Like, oh my God, watch out. And you dang near go undefeated in the regular season outside of that Kansas City game. Then you get beat by the Giants at Lambeau. Wide receivers dropping balls all over the field in that game. So that is, for me, something that makes this a big, big deal. And it, maybe you view it as a big deal because maybe you think this is the last dance for Rodgers and Davante Adams. Maybe the last time we get to see him. And as a fan, I agree with you. You want to see the last time you see a potential Hall of Fame quarterback, if this is it, go out on top. Win the dang thing. John Elway retired, going out, winning back-to-back Super Bowls, and walked off. Said, I'm good. Can't do any better than this. See ya. So, I mean, I understand. I get it. I just think this is huge. This is huge. He has to get himself back. And that's why I think this is a very important playoff run. I find it hard to believe he's going to be on a better football team going forward the rest of his career than what he has right now. Where you look at the defense and how deep that is. You look at the offensive line and how deep they are there. You look at his running backs that are unbelievable. Davante Adams, best receiver in football, I think. Maybe you can argue Cooper Kupp or whatever, fine. This is it. So how important do you think this playoff run is to Aaron Rodgers' legacy? The Van Horn Direct toll-free talk line, 855-830-8648. 855-830-8648. Experience online car buying on your terms with Van Horn Direct. You can also tweet us at Big Show Network.
Border to Border, the Big Show Radio Network.
Wendy's Big Show, served up hot and fresh, live from the Lakeland University Studios on a picket save football Friday. When the Bucks win, you win at Wendy's. Next up, the Bulls, minus Lonzo Ball. After every Bucks win, stop by any participating Wisconsin Wendy's for a free small frosty, chocolate or vanilla. No purchase necessary. This offer is only good for 24 hours after a win, so act fast. When the Bucks win, you win at Wendy's. Talking about Aaron Rodgers and how important is this playoff run to Aaron Rodgers' legacy? How important is this playoff run to Aaron Rodgers' legacy? Rodgers talked earlier this week.
It's all a part of it. Success is often based, you know, for quarterbacks on championships won a lot of times. I think success individually is much more than that. And failure, on the flip side of that, failure is not, in my opinion, shouldn't be based solely on your losses and your failures, your mistakes, your low points. It's so much more than that. It's a mindset. It's an approach. It's a total package. But I understand that in our business, so much of it is focused on the wins and losses, especially in the playoffs, Super Bowl rings and all that stuff. I understand that's part of my legacy. I'll be judged on when I'm done playing. And every year is important when it comes to furthering your legacy. I take a lot of pride in the success that we've had and that I've had. And I hope we can add to it both from a how we're judged standpoint and how we judge ourselves standpoint.
All right, so there is Aaron Rodgers talking about legacy. Let's hear from you as well. Adam Roberts, executive producer, will get your calls. Van Horn Direct toll-free talk line, 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. Tweet us at Big Show Network. Sam in West Bend, you're first up, next up, I should say, on the Wendy's Big Show with me, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer. What's up, Sam?
Well, you know, Steve, I think he will be judged by that, but I really think it's unfair to be judged by that because – you know, it's such a team sport. I mean, you know, you've heard it a million times, and I probably called in and said it a million times, that, you know, the quarterback gets so much of the praise when they win, and he gets so much of the credit for when they lose.
Like a goalie in hockey, Sam.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Steve. You know, I mean, Aaron Rodgers didn't fumble the ball last year in the 3-yard line against Tampa Bay. He didn't let somebody get behind him in the end zone against Tampa Bay last year. But still, we judge him. Oh, Tom Brady beat Aaron Rodgers. Well, Tom Brady threw 3 interceptions in that game.
Right, and okay? That's why when people blame Rodgers, they say he threw 3 interceptions and you only made 6 points off of it. But 2 of those, I believe, were back in deep in Packer territory. It wasn't like he got the ball in the Buccaneers' red zone.
No, right. There were still going to be long drives. And I just want another quick last point. You know, if you look at other people's legacies, like, say, Peyton Manning, and you say, well, Peyton Manning's judge, because, hey, he won a couple of Super Bowls.
Choke. I view him as a choke.
Right. Or you say John Elway. Or John Elway won a couple of Super Bowls. Yeah, but those guys won Super Bowls on teams where those teams were not about them at that point.
Well, the Colts Super Bowl was about them. The first Colts Super Bowl was about Peyton. The second Colts Super Bowl they lost, that was about Peyton and why they lost. Right. And then to Denver you go, and they lost one with Peyton, and then they won one, and Peyton wasn't himself. It was
right.
Yeah.
But even with the Denver ones, you know, that was about the whole team, their defense, their speed,
sure,
their running back, those Denver teams.
Yep.
Not like the early Denver teams when he got them to Super Bowl. So I just think it's unfair, but I think, unfortunately, that's the way it is.
So, okay, so if he ends up losing, again, if he doesn't get back to another Super Bowl, you're saying you think it's going to hurt his legacy of going to one Super Bowl and winning one?
I think it will. Not in my eyes.
No, not in your eyes. No, I'm just saying overall. Yeah. Right. Yeah, okay.
I think so.
Sam, thanks for the call. Peyton Manning said it. He said it. If you go back, I wonder if we can go back and find the cut. When at his first Super Bowl win, when they beat the Bears, he's at the podium, and he makes a flipping comment about, look, a bunch of dudes have won one. You got to win the second one. That's really kind of what kind of separates you when people look at you, right? You got to win more than just one. This is great that we won one, but we got to do it again. And they did do it again, but they lost to the Saints. And then he gets his opportunity in Denver. And again, by that time, he wasn't the same Peyton Manning, and they won despite the fact that he was at quarterback, because that defense was so good and they were able to win in other ways. But even he himself said the same thing. Rodgers, you know, again, he overthinks things, you know, smartest guy in the room, whatever the case may be. I'm sure in his mind, he understands how important the second Super Bowl is. Very, very important. And I'm sure that's probably kind of what played into all this crap that happened in the offseason. Look at how old he is. Look at how much longer he wants to play, however long that may be, only he knows. And then going, is this going to give me the best chance to win a Super Bowl? Have they given me the best chance to win a Super Bowl since I've been here, since we won the first one? Have they done everything to try and put us in a position to win Super Bowls? Are there other teams that would go all in for me more than what this organization has to this point. I'd assume that's all gone through his brain at some point. May not have come out of his mouth, but I would assume it's gone through his brain. So now this year, after all that nonsense, now you're seeing the Packers in quote-unquote go-for-it mode, right? Now you're seeing the fruits of it. And now you're seeing people saying, oh, you know, he's so happy, and these guys got Randall Cobb. He's going to be back for the playoff game tomorrow. And, you know, Bakhtiari, we don't know if he's coming back yet or not, but he came back in the Lions game. Oh, Aaron's so happy you have Bakhtiari back out in the field. And you look at everything they've done. He's praised Goody for Devondre Campbell. He's praised Goody for Rasul Douglas. He praised Goody for getting Merciless, even though he ended up tearing his bicep, but he may be back too. Praise. Hasn't been hardly negative about anything all year long concerning this organization and moves they have or have not made. Just hasn't. So now maybe he stays longer, maybe he doesn't, don't know. But now maybe they're doing what he's wanted them to do the whole time. Because you have to think, in his brain, he knows how everything is judged. He sees how people are viewed. That's all part of it. Tony, Menominee Falls, you're next here on the Wendy's Big Show. Before we get to Eric Crocker from Locked On 49ers Podcast and Locked On NFL Draft Podcast coming up here in about 5-10 minutes. What's going on, Tony?
What's going on? I just kind of want to echo a little bit of the last caller. Like, I personally won't change my view. Not that I don't want to win a Super Bowl this year, but I think that they've let a few get away due to the GM, and he won't change in my eyes. And for those who think that Super Bowls are a measure of greatness, I mean, Trent Dilfer has a Super Bowl. So that's pretty much the end of that argument as far as I'm concerned. But, yeah, he needs to get multiples to be viewed in the eyes of football and fans to be, and not in my eyes. But
I believe doesn't he have the worst conference championship record currently as a quarterback? And if he loses another one, then he's 1-5? I mean, I'm sorry. That is going to be something that's going to come up when you talk about Aaron Rodgers, that he was so close so many times but could never, ever get over the hump. How much differently, Tony, is Jim Kelly looked at as a quarterback with the Buffalo Bills if they win those Super Bowls that he was in instead of losing them? How much different?
How much different would Aaron Rodgers look?
No, Jim Kelly. Jim Kelly went to, what, 4 Super Bowls, lost all of them. If he wins all of them, the way people talk about Jim Kelly is probably significantly different versus losing those Super Bowls.
And he was a great quarterback.
Yes.
Great team. That was a really good team that they lost.
Correct. But, I mean, you go and you lose and you lose and you lose. I couldn't imagine being a Bills fan. You lose because of Scott Norwood, and then you go back the next year. And then you got to deal with the Cowboys Norwood killing you and so forth. But if he wins those Super Bowls, the way he's viewed, I think, maybe I'm wrong, but if he has, you know, 3-4 Super Bowl rings, I think he's in the greatest of all time category. He doesn't have one and never comes up.
I wouldn't doubt that one bit, and it's sad that doesn't come up even at all, because he was a really great quarterback. And for those who didn't get a chance to see him, just go watch some highlights.
So good.
The things he did is incredible.
Yep, that K-Gun offense was amazing. Thanks for the call. I mean, you had Andre Reed, Thurman Thomas, Don Beebe was in that offense, James Lofton. I mean, my God, it was unbelievable. Yes, Adam Roberts.
So you were asking about NFC Championship game
conference losses. Conference championships.
Total conference championships. Yeah. And you are right. Rodgers is up there. He's tied at the top with 4 other guys. Brady actually has lost 4 conference championships. No. Yeah, he's won 4. He's played in 14, so he's won 10 of them.
Right. Rodgers has won 1.
McNabb also with 4, Steve Young, and Kenny Stabler.
Right. McNabb, now there's another guy. That dude was viewed as a guy that couldn't figure it out. Now, he was. Andy Reid caught more heat than McNabb did when they couldn't get themselves to the Super Bowl year in and year out. But eventually, they did get to the Super Bowl. Lost. T.O. was playing on like 1 leg. But they eventually got there, and they couldn't finish. But they eventually got there. That's what I'm saying. Rodgers is going to be 1-5 if they end up losing in the conference championship. I mean, that's nuts. That's why I think it is critical that they finish this thing. Even if they don't, look, for Rodgers' sake, even if he doesn't win the dang thing, even if he just gets there a second time, like Brett did, right? And just gets there, and now all of a sudden he's 2-4 in conference championship games, that's a lot different than 1-5. And you may go, well, it's only 1 game, Spark. You're overreacting. I don't think so. I think when you look back at it from a history perspective, it's much, much different. Will Carlett Malone tweets at Big Show Network. In the next month, Rodgers will either A, the Favre in Super Bowl appearances, or tie Favre in Super Bowl appearances, or B, surpass Favre in Lambeau playoff losses. Should it be the former, that opens up a third possibility, C, surpass Favre in Super Bowl wins. Huge month for his legacy. I didn't even put the Favre thing in. So he's going to pass Favre in Lambeau Field playoff losses if he loses another one? I didn't even realize that. That's a new one on me. So, again, I don't know if he really... who am I kidding? I mean, I'm sure he cares about any stat against Favre's, but that one, I don't know. I don't know if that one necessarily gets brought up. The conference championship record, that one is going to get brought up. There's no question that one is going to get brought up. Randy tweets out Big Show Network, Rodgers needs to at least make an appearance in the Super Bowl to end up as a top five quarterback of all time. Anything short of that, he'll be remembered as just a great quarterback, not an all-time great. Bradshaw, Montana, Brady. But see, that's just... That Bradshaw one is another one that makes no sense to me. The man's got multiple rings and hardly ever gets put into the Brady-Montana conversation. Hardly ever does he get put into that conversation. Good for you, Randy, for putting him in. I'm just saying, hardly ever does he get put into the conversation. And to this day, I don't understand why he doesn't. Again, I wasn't alive watching every one of his Super Bowls, but if you just look at the rings, and yes, he had Hall of Fame talent around him, right? No doubt. He had Swan, he had Franco Harris, he had Hall of Famers all around him. Not saying he didn't have great talent, but so did Joe Montana. People don't bail on Joe Montana because he had, you know, great talent around him. But seemingly they do it to Terry Bradshaw. I'm not sure why. Coming up next, Eric Crocker. Locked on 49ers, Locked on NFL Draft. We'll get his thoughts and how he sees this Packers-Niners game going at Lambeau Field tomorrow night. 7:15 kick. Immediately following that one, Green and Gold postgame show with Gary Ellerson and myself, presented to you by Lakeland University. And again, if your station carries it, you're set. If your station doesn't carry it, just download that Odyssey app and listen to us tomorrow night after the game, AUDACY. And of course, don't be bashful. Call in. Love to hear from you tomorrow night after the game.
Wisconsin-wide, the Big Show Radio Network.
Big Show served up hot and fresh live from the Lakeland University studios. Online learning, 7 locations throughout the state. Learn on your terms, lakeland.edu. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer with you. Gary Ellerson out today. Leroy Butler had to leave early to go do his Lambeau Field tours. If you don't know this, if you can get a group and you can get a tour of Lambeau Field, and sometimes they have different former Packers that'll give tours and so forth, and Leroy does it throughout the year, and he's got a couple of tours lined up for this afternoon, so he's on his way to Lambeau Field for that. Joining us now on the Schneider Orange Hotline, he is Eric Crocker, Locked On 49ers podcast, Locked On the NFL Draft podcast as well. Follow him on Twitter at Eric_Crocker. Schneider's hiring drivers right now. For more info, call him 800-44-PRIDE or go to SchneiderJobs.com. That's 800-44-PRIDE or go to SchneiderJobs.com. Eric, thanks so much for coming on, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on.
All right, so first things first, kind of want to get a feel here on where Niners fans are as we get ready for this game tomorrow night in Lambeau Field. Where do you feel like the confidence level is at right now for this game?
I think fairly confident. You know, most of the people I've talked with, or even, you know, just me looking at this game and viewing it through the eyes of how we feel it'll play out. Now, I think the 49ers match up well against Green Bay, probably as well as you can for a team going up against someone like Aaron Rodgers, you know, with Devontae Adams. But the confidence level is there. If there's any doubt, I think that probably comes more from just knowing Jimmy Garoppolo is out there and he can do some weird things at any moment.
What kind of health situation do we have here from Garoppolo? Because, I mean, there's all kinds of reports out there. Trey Lance may end up getting into the game because his shoulder is so bad. What's the health update on Garoppolo?
You know, Kyle Shanahan feels like he's good enough to go. You know, I think at this point in the year, a lot of guys have lingering injuries and different things that they have to work through and play through. I know for a while, Aaron Rodgers had something going on with his toe and all that, COVID toe or whatever it was. So, you know, guys are playing through different things. You know, is he 100%? No, but I do believe that he's 100% functional. And the last check that I've seen, Jimmy Garoppolo wasn't on the injury report. So I think that's good news. And, you know, they'll probably do whatever they can to make sure that he's as comfortable as possible heading into the game.
Talk with Eric Crocker, Locked On 49ers podcast, Locked On NFL Draft. Played a little on the Arena Football League, NFL with a Jets, cup of coffee there. Eric, what about Deebo Samuel and how they've kind of unlocked him in his potential, not only as far as catching the ball as a wide receiver, but now putting him in the backfield as well?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. Deebo Samuel, they've always used him as kind of this versatile threat where they would work to get the ball in his hands. I believe he had over like 100 yards rushing his rookie year, a lot of times on those kind of like orbit motions and things like that. Well, midway through the year, the 49ers were kind of struggling to keep their running backs healthy. Elijah Mitchell hadn't played, which I believe Elijah Mitchell was out in the first meeting against Green Bay. And, you know, he missed several games this year. And they got the bright idea is you put Deebo in the backfield and use him as a pure running back. And that's been something that they've consistently done throughout this season. And really to the point where some games he gets, or a lot of games, he'll get more rushing attempts than he will actual targets. Now, he still lines up at receiver, whether it's outside or slot, more than anything else. But they have figured out a way to get him the ball in the backfield. And he might be the 49ers' most dynamic running back, which is definitely interesting, which is, I mean, he's built like a running back. He's 5'11", 220 pounds. But I think when you see his vision and his explosiveness, he has 8 rushing touchdowns and he's averaging over 16 yards per carry on those touchdowns. Just an explosive player, and it definitely added a different dimension to their offense.
Eric, when we talk about the Niners defense, you go back to that Super Bowl run that they had. That was a dominant defense, obviously. Since then, they've kind of reloaded that defense a little bit. Just how good is this Niners defense versus the ones we've seen the last couple of years? And what is the strength of this Niners defense right now?
So I won't say it's 2019. That defense, that was like an all-time great defense for the 49ers. And then, you know, you lose guys like Sherman, who was a leader. You lose guys like DeForest Buckner, who they traded away to the Colts. They're not that. I would say they've definitely progressively gotten better throughout this season. They really keep the team in some of these games that could potentially maybe get out of hand with Jimmy Garoppolo turning the ball over. But the defense plays well. You know, I think a lot of people would say, well, on the outside, they're not as good. But Ambry Thomas, Emmanuel Mosley, they've done a good job kind of, you know, limiting things. And I think wherever they lack, D'Amico Ryans as a defense coordinator has done a really good job of kind of hiding their deficiencies as well as he can. You can only do it so much. And, you know, everyone knows a guy like Aaron Rodgers, he'll take advantage of every little inch that you give him. So, you know, this is going to be their toughest task to date. But I would say more times than not, they've done a really good job of kind of limiting big explosive plays. And that showed, it reflects on the numbers. I believe they're 6th in the NFL against the pass, number 3 overall defense in the league. So they play well. But again, you know, going up against Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams and that chemistry they have, that's a different monster against the pass.
Well, what about the running game for the Green Bay Packers? I mean, a nice two-headed monster for the Packers now, where you got the guy that can take it to the house in Aaron Jones and a guy that can be a bulldozer and finish teams off in the second half in A.J. Dillon. Probably the best running back duo the Packers have had in quite some time, plus an offensive line that is 8-9 deep right now for this Packers team if Bakhtiari is able to come back and play at left tackle this week. How do they view that part of the Packers offense?
Yeah, you know, the 49ers run defense has probably been their biggest strength, maybe of the entire team. You know, I believe it's through since week 8, like pretty much the second half of the season, they've been the number one defense against the run. They've been the number one defense, like, you know, as far as yards per carry. The DVOA numbers back that. They've been really good there. And I think a big change was midway through the year, they put Eric Armstead in the middle. And they had, you know, second-year player Javon Kinlaw go out. And he just wasn't going to come back because of the injury he's dealing with his knee. And since then, Armstead has done well. And guys like Arden Key, who, you know, Arden Key was someone in his first 3 years of his career, playing for the Raiders, he had 3 sacks. Well, in the second half of this season, he had like 6 or 7 sacks, and that's not even including the playoffs. So a lot of guys have really stepped up. They've figured out different ways to kind of move guys around. D'Amico Ryans has done a good job of figuring out where guys play best. And I think even still, I mean, they're still kind of a filling out process with that. But at least against the run, that's probably the 49ers' like biggest strength. Everybody thinks it's the rush offense. I think it's actually the rush defense. And somewhat making a lot of teams a little bit more one-dimensional.
Can we talk about Kyle Shanahan, Eric Crocker? I'd like to get your thoughts, because up until this year, in that nice little run there at the end, the man had 1 winning season. Now, grant you, it was a Super Bowl run, which obviously gets you some leeway going forward. And some Niner fan had tweeted at me earlier in the week about Shanahan. I said, man's had 1 winning season coming into this year. Like, just let's relax. And she responded back, and she was a big Niners fan. And she's like, yeah, well, he doesn't have Aaron Rodgers. So let's see Matt LaFleur do without Aaron Rodgers, what Kyle Shanahan's been able to do with San Francisco. I thought it was a fair point. How do you view Shanahan as a coach?
Man, I mean, you're right. I think the thought of him, especially, we'll say midway through the year, right? Because at one point, the 49ers were 2-4. And they lost 4 straight games, starting with that Green Bay game. And he was really getting criticized. I mean, at that point, it was looking like 49ers are going to have another losing season. That would have been 1 winning season in 5 years. Definitely not ideal. And since then, he's been able to turn it around, and I give him a lot of credit for keeping everything together and sticking to what he felt would be the best thing for the 49ers, which would be, you know, continue to play Jimmy Garoppolo, stick with certain guys. They made whatever adjustments they felt like they needed to make, and they've turned it around. I do think it's very clear that if he did have an Aaron Rodgers, you know, the team would probably be a lot better, but probably 31 teams, you know, outside of Green Bay in the NFL would say the same thing, right? Like, man, I would be much better if I had a quarterback like Aaron Rodgers. So that's ideal. Unfortunately, he doesn't have that. He has Jimmy Garoppolo. And I think he does a really good job of kind of understanding what Jimmy Garoppolo's strengths are, what his weaknesses are. You know, he doesn't ask Jimmy to do a whole lot. He barely limits him to throwing the ball. I think he knows, like, man, you know, it's almost like a relief pitcher, where a relief pitcher, he comes in and you know he has that fastball, but you want to keep it under a certain amount of pitches, because if not, there's some, you know, weird stuff that might happen. They might start giving up home runs. But that's Jimmy Garoppolo. You know, Kyle does a good job of, you know, attacking a certain level of the field that Jimmy Garoppolo feels comfortable throwing to. He doesn't really ask him to push the ball downfield a whole lot, because that's not really a big strength of Jimmy Garoppolo. And, you know, the more he throws it, the more he's prone to do some weird stuff. Like, I mean, we saw it in the Green Bay versus 49 game early in this year. He turned the ball over twice. And, I mean, you know, for everything I've said about 49ers getting better as the year goes on, if Jimmy turns the ball over twice, which, I mean, he does, and he does do that, but if he doesn't, that might be a different outcome. You know, it was he turned the ball over 2 times, giving the Packers scoring position both times, and even then, it took a last-second field goal for Packers to win. So, you know, Kyle understands Jimmy Garoppolo and his limitations, and he plays to his strengths. And I think that's, you know, that's what makes him a good coach, in my opinion, more so than anything, being able to really get guys behind him no matter the circumstance.
Does he forget that he has George Kittle on his team? I'm looking, he's got 9 catches for 78 yards in the last 4 games. In 4 playoff games, he's been targeted 16 times, has 9 catches for 89 yards. That's 4 targets a playoff game on average. I mean, to me, that's, aren't you just missing a golden opportunity? I mean, I get that he's a good run blocker. I understand. But he's still George Kittle.
I don't get it. You know, Troy Aikman came out in the media the other day and talked about the Cowboys not getting the ball to CeeDee Lamb, right? And it's like, man, like at what point, if you see some soft coverage on the outside, just raise up and get your guy the ball. I mean, we see that all the time with Green Bay and Devontae Adams.
Yep.
If you're 8 yards off Devontae Adams, Aaron Rodgers, he'll raise up and he'll throw the ball to him right now. Give him space. Give him the ball in space. Go pick up 5, 6, 7 yards, right? You see that consistently. With George Kittle, he can go on these, like, these games where he has, you know, 10 catches for 160 yards. I mean, he has, like, this explosive 2 or 3 game stint throughout the year. And then the next game is like, you know what, we'll throw you the ball one time, or we'll throw you the ball twice. Against Dallas Cowboys, he saw 1 target for 18 yards. And I don't think it's a sense of teams just taking him away. I think it's Kyle playing more towards whatever he feels is best for his scheme which you would think that would involve George Kittle more, because he's one of the best tight ends in the NFL. He's so explosive and he's so good after the catch. But for whatever reason, I can't tell you why, he becomes an afterthought at times in this offense. And I don't get it. I'm just as baffled by it as you guys are.
I got some breaking news here on the Packers. I'm just going to let you sit right there and you can listen to it as I read it here. This is from Jeremy Fowler of ESPN. Breaking news on the Big Show Network, powered by Odyssey and presented by BetQL. Become a better sports better, get smarter to beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. Jeremy Fowler saying the Packers are expected to activate Pro Bowl pass rusher Za'Darius Smith for Saturday's playoff game against the Niners. Per sources, Smith has been gearing up to be available for this game. The plan has been for him to play, barring late change, first action since week one for Za'Darius Smith, obviously because of the back surgery. Your thoughts on Za'Darius Smith being able to play now in this game with Preston Smith, with Rashawn Gary, and still waiting to find out about Whitney Mercilus if he'll be able to play?
Yeah, well, typically from Smith, from what I remember, he rushes off the left side of the offense.
Yep.
And that's Trent Williams over there. So Trent Williams is probably the 49ers' best player. So if there is anything that gives me hope that we can, you know, somewhat slow him down, the 49ers can somewhat slow him down, is that he's, you know, rushing against one of the better pass blockers. Now, on the other side, you talked about Rashawn Gary, and he has come on tremendously. He was a guy who wasn't a high sack, you know, production type guy at Michigan. Felt like he started off kind of slow. Maybe not. Is he an outside linebacker? Is he an edge rusher? What are you going to do? Well, this year he's been terrific, having almost double digit sacks, a ton of pressures. I think he's like, what, second in the NFL on pressures or something like that. So I'm more worried about Rashawn Gary against like Tom Compton, who she probably shouldn't be starting, but he has to start. And you hope that Tom Compton can hold up against a pass rusher like this. I'd be even more worried if the Packers said, you know what, Za'Darius Smith, just go rush on the other side now. Go rush against Tom Compton. I think that would worry me even more. But I think, you know, if you just say Za'Darius Smith is going to line up on the left side of the line and that's where Trent Williams is, I think it'd definitely be a good battle. But it doesn't worry you as much knowing, you know, you have Trent Williams over there.
No doubt about it. Eric Crocker, check him out. Locked On 49ers podcast. Plus, he does a lot of great stuff on the draft, Locked On NFL Draft. Follow him on Twitter at Eric_Crocker. Eric, thanks so much for coming on, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
You betcha. Take care. There he is, Eric Crocker on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider Tire and Drivers right now. For more info, call him 800-44-PRIDE or go to SchneiderJobs.com. That's 800-44-PRIDE or go to SchneiderJobs.com.
You're listening to the Big Show Radio Network.
Wendy's Big Show, served up hot and fresh. Pick up a Frosty Key Tag at Wendy's for just $2, and you can use it all year to get a free Junior Frosty with any purchase. Proceeds help support adoption. More love for the children, more frostiness for you. Get your Frosty Key Tag today and for just $2 at Wendy's. Offer valid until New Year's Eve of 2022. Every $2 tag sold will benefit the Dave Thomas Foundation for adoption. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer with you. Hey, you want to cash in during the pro football playoffs? Try out Giving Props, a free-to-play contest on BetQL.com. Every round of the playoffs, they'll post 10 props. Simply create an account and make your picks for a chance to win $2,000 in weekly winnings. Plus, just by signing up, you're entered into a random grand prize drawing for $10,000. Get started today at BetQL.com/props. That's BetQL.com/props. Interesting. I was looking at some of these responses. We were talking about a Rodgers legacy before the break. And one response from somebody that goes by Bloodline says, how do you blame Rodgers for this when he's only on the field 45% of the time? And it was a guy, Willie, who tweeted, Aaron Rodgers' playoff losses. Defense gave up 45. Defense gave up 37. Defense gave up 45. Led game-tying drive, never got the ball back. Led game-tying drive, never got the ball back. Led game-tying drive, never got the ball back. Defense gave up 44. Defense gave up 37. Defense gave up 31. And that is Willie talking about Aaron Rodgers' losses. And again, simply stating, it's not his fault. It's not his fault. And we've talked about this before And I agree with Gary and Leroy on this point that if the Packers lose this game or the next game or any game for that matter, there's probably a 99% chance people will say it is somebody else's fault other than the quarterback. That's just what it is. Now, there are some people I've seen tweeting that says, no matter what, if they lose, everybody's going to blame Rodgers. I don't think so. Like, I think the amount of people that blame Rodgers for a playoff loss is a very slim portion. Maybe they're loud, right? Maybe they're the loudest portion, but I don't think it's the majority. I just don't. I think if you went up to casual football fans on the Monday after a Packers loss and go, hey, why do you think they lost the game? I don't think casual fan ever says Aaron Rodgers' name, ever. Regardless of what happened in the football game, I don't think they ever will put that blame on 12. Now, if you go back in time to Brett Favre, casual fan sees Brett Favre throw three picks, and you ask casual fan the Monday after why they lose that game, people were saying Brett Favre back then because it was clear, it was obvious, right? You turn over the ball that much in a game, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out why you keep losing games because he's throwing interceptions. You know, they lose that game against the Rams and he threw, what, 5-6 interceptions in that game, made Aeneas Williams all in favor of that game alone. Yeah, everybody's going to say, yeah, Favre. And Favre lost us that game. At the same time, Favre makes some crazy good throws, some crazy good play. Next day, people are going to, you know, say Brett Favre is responsible for that. It may not be fair that the quarterback gets all the love and the criticism in the National Football League. Just like a goalie does in hockey, a lot of times a starting pitcher will in Major League Baseball, or a reliever, a closer at some point will get that criticism. And when all of them are team sports, and you know there are situations in the game that could have gone different ways or had different results that you could point at and say, well, that's just as much of a reason of losing as that one particular situation. Like if Crosby misses a field goal and costs the Packers a win, we're all going to blame Mason Crosby, even though early in their game, there's probably five or six situations that had people done their jobs correctly, could have avoided it being such a close game, and the Packers could have won that game. But that won't be brought up. Coming up next, confident, concerned, and curious. What are you confident about in the Packers? Concerned about in the Packers? And what are you curious to see in this Packer-Niner game? That's coming up next, 855-830-8648.
Border to border, the Big Show Radio Network.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.